The Lord is a shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, protects, and blesses the believer forever.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Folks, we are looking today at another psalm. Last week we looked at Psalm 1 in how it told us that blessed is the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord. Today then we're going to be looking at Psalm 23, in which we see the Lord is my shepherd. Is the Lord your shepherd? Do you have a guide, a leader, a protector, a provider that you look to? We're invited to look to Jesus, to look to the Lord for that. Before we look at the passage there, just a moment here about sheep and shepherds. You know, one of the most common images that is used in the Scriptures for God's people is that of sheep. Whether it was the Old Testament people of Israel, who were the flock of God, God's sheep, or whether it is the New Testament believers in Jesus, the church, who are the flock, the sheep, the people of God. You might wonder, well, why was that used so often? Well, of course, sheep and shepherding was a very, very common and familiar sight in those times, in their culture. But why would God compare his people to sheep? Why do you think? Well, think about that for a moment there. Think about sheep. First of all, sheep need a lot of care, don't they? To provide for their needs, to shear them when their wool gets too thick and heavy. So sheep need a lot of attention and care. Sheep also had a tendency to wander. There was safety with the shepherd and the flock, but they had a tendency to wander. So they were very needy animals that had a tendency to wander away from their shepherd. Sheep were also vulnerable because there were many great dangers, whether it would be from other animals, from wolves, from thieves, or even just from walking off the side of a cliff, because they would do that without proper guidance. So sheep were in need. They were needy. They were vulnerable. They tended to wander. And also, I might say, sheep were not very bright animals either. They were dumb, actually. And so they needed a lot of attention. Is anybody still wondering why the people of God are sometimes called sheep here now? Do you know some people who need a lot of care, who are vulnerable, have a tendency to wander, and maybe aren't so bright sometimes? Well, you see, that's us. That's all of us, isn't it? We are sheep. Well, one of the things that sheep need then is a shepherd. And so one of the most common images in the Scripture for God is God as a shepherd. We are the sheep, he is the shepherd. So what did the shepherd do for the sheep? Well, he would lead them. He would guide them onto the right paths. He would provide for their needs. And he would protect them from danger. He would preserve their lives. So it's not too surprising that we see this imagery so much in the Scripture of sheep and shepherds, the people of God as sheep, God as the shepherd. So today then we're going to look at Psalm 23, where we see the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is a shepherd who provides, who refreshes, who guides, protects, and blesses the believer forever. Think about that. Just let that sink in for a moment here. That if you are in Christ, you have a shepherd. You have someone who is watching out for you, who provides, who guides, refreshes, protects, and blesses you not just now, but forever and ever. The Lord is our shepherd. So before we look at Psalm 23, a little context here. As you know, the book of Psalms here was the hymn book or the song book of Israel, the people of God. Psalms, it literally means like a songs of praise. We've seen that there are different types of psalms, wisdom psalms, nature psalms, psalms of praise and thanksgiving, songs of lament or judgment, crying out to God. Pilgrim songs, as they were preparing to go to worship in Jerusalem, they would sing. Messianic psalms, then, that would talk about the Messiah that was to come. So all these different types of psalms, but behind them all was praise of God. Songs of praise for God's goodness and His faithfulness, His holiness, His righteousness, His just ways. Most of them written by David, including this one today, Psalm 23. And in this psalm, we see then here where the Lord is presented as a shepherd. Not only a shepherd, also there's another image in this. The Lord as shepherd, but also the Lord as a host, a dinner host. One who's invited us into His home or into His palace, His royal banquet hall, where we are guests at a dinner. So the Lord as shepherd and the Lord as host, as royal host. You know, in Old Testament times then, we've seen how sheep often represented the people of God, shepherds for God. But also there was a tradition among the people sometimes where kings or rulers over the people would sometimes be described or thought of as being shepherds over their people. And so David here, David was a shepherd, wasn't he? He was a shepherd boy. He grew up in a family of shepherds. But then, as he grew older, the Lord chose him to be king over His people, Israel. And so now David, who was a shepherd over sheep as a boy, is now a shepherd king over the people of Israel. So he is a shepherd over Israel, but shepherds need shepherds too, don't they? And so if David, the shepherd king, was to properly shepherd the people of God, he needed a shepherd himself. Who is the king's shepherd? Who was the Lord? Who was David's shepherd? Well, I think you know the answer to that, don't you? The Lord is my shepherd. Let's read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, this is a favorite scripture passage of many, a favorite psalm of many people, and has been for millennia, isn't it? And it has brought great comfort to people for thousands of years. Because in this, we see this wonderful and powerful and beautiful description of the Lord as shepherd and gracious host as well. So David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." By the way, you may have noticed this if you've seen this in reading in Old Testament scriptures, but also sometimes I will use it in notes here, where you see that all capital L-O-R-D. You might wonder, why is that? What is that? Well, there's a reason for that. When you see Lord in all capital letters in your Old Testament text, see, what does that mean? Does anyone know why that is? Yahweh, that is God's personal name. You know, God has many names, and those names are descriptions of God, what God is like, what God does. But there is one name that is His personal name. Just like we could describe you, each one of us, there might be many different ways that you could describe a person, what they do, but they have a personal name. Well, God has many names that describe Him, but He has a personal name, And that name is, well, and we don't know exactly how to pronounce it. Our best guess is Yahweh. It's those four letters that we pronounce, YHWH, that we pronounce Yahweh. And so when you see those all capital letters, that is God's personal name. Yahweh is my shepherd. So who is Yahweh? Yahweh, his name means something. His name means what? I am. Exactly. I am. We see that, remember when Moses encountered God at the burning bush? He was told to take off his sandals because he was on holy ground. And their God, Yahweh, was sending him into Egypt to bring his people Israel out of there from bondage and slavery. And so Moses, as you know, he was a little reluctant about doing that, wasn't he? And he was a little nervous about, well, I don't know, well, if I go and do this, who shall I say sent me? And he said, you tell them, I am sent you, Yahweh. His personal name, meaning I am, meaning what? That he is the great, self-existent, eternal God, the absolute Lord of the universe, the one who simply is, I am. God always has been, God is, God always will be. But more than just being that he's always been, is, and always will be, he's actually even outside of time itself. Right? Did you know that? Time itself is a part of the created order. We can't imagine a time without time, can we? Actually, that doesn't even make sense, right? But he is Yahweh. He is the absolute, self-existent, eternal one, absolutely dependent on no one or no thing. Amen. That's the Lord, Yahweh. Absolute, self-existent, dependent on no one or no thing, Yahweh. Moses, you tell him that one sent you. So who is David's shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who is my shepherd? Yahweh. The absolute, almighty, eternal, self-existent one, outside of all time and creation itself. The sovereign Lord behind it all, the great I am, Yahweh, is my shepherd. But he wasn't just David's shepherd. He's our shepherd. And when we put our faith in him, he is our shepherd. Yahweh is your shepherd as well. We often see this, again, this imagery of God as shepherd. And Jesus as God is the shepherd. And we see Jesus then being spoken of as a shepherd. In John chapter 10, Jesus says that what? That he is the what shepherd? The good shepherd. Now, why did he call himself a good shepherd? Because that was in distinction from the bad shepherds that Israel had over them. Their rulers, their leaders. You see, there are human shepherds, under-shepherds, if you will, who have responsibility for the spiritual care and nurture of others. They're called shepherds. There's one great shepherd. But humans were shepherds, and the religious leaders and rulers of the people, they weren't doing such a good job. And it wasn't only in Jesus' day with the Pharisees, but it was also, though, hundreds of years before, in the time of the prophets, Ezekiel spoke of these terrible shepherds who weren't concerned about the people of Israel caring for their needs. They were only concerned about themselves, how they could enrich themselves. Now, we don't have so-called shepherds who get rich at the expense of the flock today, do we? Who only care about themselves and don't take care of people. No, we had them then. We have them now. And so, Ezekiel is declaring judgment on these, God is declaring judgment through Ezekiel on these bad shepherds who were not taking care of the people. In fact, in Ezekiel 34, God says, I myself then will be there. So you're not caring for them. I myself will be their shepherd. And so then Jesus, when he comes, he says, I am the good shepherd. He's the fulfillment of that. He is the good shepherd, not the bad shepherd. He's the right shepherd, the good shepherd. In Hebrews, he's called the great shepherd. That he is the one who is greater and above all. Hebrews is about the supremacy and the superiority of Jesus Christ over all. The chief shepherd, he's called in 1 Peter chapter 5. So that God gives human shepherds to care for his people, but over them and over us all is the chief shepherd. And that is Jesus. Jesus is Yahweh. He is the great I am. If you don't believe me, turn to the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 58, where you see where he almost got stoned to death, almost got killed, because he said that he was Yahweh. Was and is Yahweh. So the Lord Yahweh is David's shepherd, and he is our shepherd. Jesus is Yahweh. Jesus is our shepherd, the good shepherd, the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. And because the Lord was David's shepherd, all of his needs were met. David says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. To be in want means what? To be lacking, to have need. Now understand here, I think we do understand this, but just to be crystal clear on this, this does not mean because Yahweh is our shepherd, we're going to have everything we want. How many of you have figured out that it doesn't work that way? You know that, right? So it says, I shall not be lacking, I shall not be in want. Doesn't mean, well, there's things I'd really like to have, but God isn't giving it to me. I'm lacking in that. No, he's saying, we're not going to lack what we need, right? How many of you know there's a big difference between what we want and what we need? Sometimes it's very, very obvious, the difference between what we want and what we need. The problem is that sometimes to us, that difference doesn't seem so obvious, does it? And it's very easy for us to confuse the two. But the reality is that we will not lack what we need, what God knows that we need. I think it's also important for us to know then, too, that there's a difference between the perspective of the here and the now versus the perspective of eternity. We are going to have all that we need, that God determines we need, right here, right now. But certainly within the eternal state, in the presence of God, in the new heaven, the new earth, we absolutely will not be lacking in anything, any blessing there, will we? We'll not only have everything we need, we're going to be generously blessed far beyond anything we need, aren't we? Actually, we're already generously blessed beyond everything we need, aren't we? So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. I shall not want. I will have everything I need. David tells us then, too, that the Lord leads him into green pastures. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Now, if you're a sheep, what does that green pasture represent to you? It's your food, right? That's where you go for nourishment. To us, green pasture just might be a place to go and relax, and that's a good thing too. But to a sheep, it's what you need to sustain. It's your food. So the Lord leads us into the green pastures, the places of spiritual nourishment, that he gives us the food for our souls. Now, what is the food that, what are the green pastures that you need and I need? What is God's food? It's his word, right? His word. This is what nourishes our spirits, the word of God. He leads us in green pastures. He also leads the sheep to still waters. He leads me beside still waters. What do the still waters represent to the sheep? to drink, right? A place of refreshment, a place of rest, a place of cleansing. So we too, we need the green pastures of God's Word, but we also need the still waters, the water that satisfies our spiritual thirst, that brings refreshment to our spirits, that brings cleansing. And this water then, these still waters then, restore our souls. So when it restores our souls, but it brings forgiveness and peace. Anybody here ever need forgiveness? Anybody here searching for peace? The Lord is the one who guides us to the place of forgiveness, of peace, the restoration of the soul, refreshing the soul, being right with God. Scriptures tell us then too that the Lord is our shepherd who provides all we need, feeds us with His Word, leads us to a place of rest and refreshment, a place of forgiveness, of healing, restoration of the soul. But that He also then guides us in paths of righteousness. He leads me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. As you think about that shepherd who would lead the sheep, he would lead them in the path. There was a right way to go and a wrong way to go. Which way do you think the sheep would usually go if left to their own devices? The wrong way, right? Including the wrong path that might lead to danger, or even going over the side of a cliff if you left them there long enough, right? But the Lord guides us on the right path. Now, I didn't say the easy path. How many of you know the path of righteousness is not always the easy path in life, right? But isn't that kind of a funny thing, though, that the path of righteousness is sometimes it's the more difficult path to go. But what does it yield? It yields the fruit of righteousness, right? And sometimes the easier path, it's easier to go that way. Why? Because there's less resistance. It satisfies our sinful impulses within us. But what does it yield? It yields the rotten fruit of the sinful nature, doesn't it? And there's no peace in that. And so sometimes it's the hard path of righteousness that is the easy path of peace then. And it's the easy path of unrighteousness that becomes the hard path because of all the trouble and the trial and travail of sin that brings into our lives. But the Lord, though, leads us on paths of righteousness. That is what He shows us, the right way to go in life, the right way to live, that which is right, which is good, which is morally good. And how does He do this? How does He guide us? There's a number of ways, but the key one, again, it's what? It's the Word of God, that He shows us what is good, what is right. You're facing a situation, you're not sure what's the right thing to do, the best thing to do. God will guide us in paths of righteousness. And interestingly, it says something here that can get overlooked. It says, He leads me in paths of righteousness for what? For His name's sake. Here I think is the name of God is that the reputation of God, God's good name. He leads us in paths of righteousness for the sake of His good name or good reputation. Did you know that, and again, I find this stunning, that God allows this, okay? He allows you and me to impact His reputation, what people think about Him. Isn't that stunning, really, when you think about that? But isn't it true, oftentimes, what people think about God, about who He is, what kind of God, oftentimes the ideas that people have, it's what? It's a direct reflection of the people who claim that God, right? So no pressure here, folks, right? But But you know, there are people that what they think about God is based on what they see in you, in me. And so God guides us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake, that His name will be honored and uplifted and held in high regard as it ought to be. So He leads in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Then we're also told that He leads even through the valley, even through the valley. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Walking through the valley of the shadow of death. Anybody here ever walk through the valley? You know, there's a few verses here in this psalm that can be taken in a couple of different ways. And I think that however you take it, it's both ways are true. But it's been suggested here, in walking through this valley of the shadow of death, usually when we see this, people see that, well, the shadow of death, that is what, when death is looming near. And so oftentimes you'll see Psalm 23, and I've done it too. You'll see it read at funerals and memorial services. We think of this as when death is coming near, the valley of the shadow of death. And that's certainly true, because death is a great darkness and danger, isn't it? But I don't think that that's necessarily what's meant. This could be here, this valley of a deep darkness. I think it talks about the dangers in life. Dark places, dark things, of which I would say impending death is one of those things. But I don't think that's all that it's about. I think it's about this place of darkness and danger, including death. Yes, but others. And even though I walk through the valley of that, I don't have to be afraid. I don't have to fear. Why? For You, Yahweh, is with you. Yahweh is with me. For You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Among the tools that the shepherd had at his disposal, he had a rod and a staff. And what was a rod? Like a club, right? And why do you think he had that? Why did that shepherd have that rod, that club? To protect the sheep from wolves, predators, dangerous, or maybe even a thief, right? So to protect them, the rod was used like a baseball bat. And a staff. What is the shepherd's staff? Usually when you think of a shepherd, this image probably comes right to mind, right? It's kind of like the question mark stick, right? Like that. And what was that staff used for? To bring the sheep back in, right? When the sheep are starting to go the wrong way, you bring the staff, and what happens? Right around the neck. By the way, do you think that felt pleasant for the sheep to get that staff around its neck and be brought back in? But what's the alternative? Going on and maybe going over the side of the cliff or other danger, right? So the shepherd was certainly willing to inflict a little temporary discomfort to bring that sheep back to a place of safety. You think God does that with you, with me? Absolutely. So when we are entering into a dark place, we don't need to fear, because God is with us. His club is there to protect us from the predators, and His staff is there to guide us along the right path. And that may not feel good, having that staff around your neck temporarily. But it's well worth it, isn't it? For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. Scripture never promises that we are going to be delivered from all difficulties or painful situations, that we'll never face them, that we'll never have to deal with it. We will. But God is with us in them. And yes, He ultimately does deliver us from them all, doesn't He? So here we see this image of the Lord as a shepherd. And now the imagery shifts here, starting in verse 5, to the Lord as a host, as a dinner host. And he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." So you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. The image here is of like being in a banquet hall, a royal banquet hall with a big dinner table there. And here is the Lord, who is the host, the gracious host here, and invites you to this dinner. Now, you think of having a dinner there, what springs to mind is what? There's a place of rejoicing and feasting. Good times, right? But he says, "You prepare this table in the presence of my enemies." David was surrounded by enemies. You read the Psalms, you see that over and over again, where he's crying out to the Lord for deliverance and protection from his enemies. And here he says, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Even while I've got all of this going on around me, you're preparing a table for me, a feast for me to enjoy. Even as they're standing right there. How'd you like to be the enemy that's sitting there watching David enjoy the feast and you don't get to have any of it, right? Well, that's what it is. Yeah, the enemies are still there, but David's sitting down at the Lord's table enjoying his feast. So here then, this host, the Lord, he's hospitable and welcoming. Then he says, "You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows." That anointing with oil was what was a symbol of God's presence, but it was refreshing and soothing. So here he is as the host. God prepares the meal, sits us down at that table. He anoints with oil. This is something a good host would do. It was refreshing and honoring of the guest. Isn't that something that God honors you? Do you deserve it? Do I? No. But God chooses to. So here is this host preparing the dinner, anointing us with oil that honors and refreshes. You know, as I think about that, I think of a story that Jesus told in the New Testament about a son who decided to, what, take his father's inheritance and run off and live wildly until it all ran out one day. And then what? Now he found himself in dire straits. And he thinks, you know what, I'll go back to my father's house, or at least there, you know, I can be a servant in my father's house and it's better than what I've got here right now. But as he's going back, what happens? The father sees him from a distance, and what does the father do? He runs. He runs to him, grabs him, holds him, anoints him with kisses, gets him cleaned up, puts new robes on him, and then says, what? We're going to have a feast and celebrate. See, and that's what God does for you and me. He celebrates with a feast over us. This cup, then, is God's blessings. That his cup of blessing overflows. And isn't that true for you and me? That God's blessings overflow to us. By the way, that's a great exercise to do sometime. Just sit down with a piece of paper and a pen and just start writing down the blessings of God, how God has blessed you. It's really quite amazing. And so many things we take for granted, isn't it? So we are anointed with oil, and surely then goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. This is God's loyal love. His goodness, his mercy remain on us no matter the circumstance. And then David says, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Here's another part that sometimes is understood in a couple of different ways, and I think both of these ways are true. But David says, "I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." We hear that, we think, well, forever, that means for eternity, right? We will always be with the Lord forever. And that is true. But I think probably what David was saying here is this forever is for length of days, all the days of my life, saying that I will dwell, like through all the days of my life here and now, God is with me. But it is certainly true, though, that we will dwell in God's eternal house forever and ever with Him as well, isn't it? And there's great peace and comfort in that. So I'd say, so what? What do you want me to do with this? I remind us where we started. We said, what? The Lord is a shepherd who provides, refreshes, guides, protects, and blesses the believer forever. So I close by asking you just one simple question here. Is the Lord, is Yahweh, the great, self-existent, eternal I Am, is He your shepherd? Do you need a shepherd? I do. Is the Lord your shepherd? Is He the one who provides for you, who guides, protects, refreshes, and blesses you now and forever? Give thanks for Him. Walk in faith with Him. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful that we have a great shepherd of our souls, that the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd, that He is the great shepherd, that He is the chief shepherd. Thank You, Lord, that we don't wander through life needy, vulnerable, but You are with us, providing for all we need, protecting us from danger, and lavishing us with Your goodness and mercy and favor, knowing that we will dwell forever and ever in Your presence. Guide us, we pray, Lord, in paths of righteousness for Your name's sake. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.